Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thanks, Justin. Thank you so much. Praise God. That was so much fun, wasn't it? The kids were absolutely amazing. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. There's so much. There's just so much in that. If that's videoed, I want to watch back that video because, like, I don't know if I enjoyed the kids more or the children's pastors, the youth work, the kids workers, just like, "No, the mic, get the mic." And like, I don't know about you, but like, I love the little WrestleMania match that was going on behind there. I was like, that's a new one for the nativity story to me, but like, that was really class. And poor Justin was not only doing a reading today, he was also a referee. It was just brilliant. Please, that's recorded, because that was one of the best ever. I loved it. I love how we just bring our own creativity to the nativity story. The shepherds baiting the heads off the wise men. I'm going to stop now. I need to get into my message. I love it. I love Christmas. I know Christmas can be a really tough time for some people. I get that. And I get life. I'm not immune as a pastor. Myself and Sean always say this. We're not immune to the struggles of life and to the grief and to the hardships that life can bring. And I know sometimes we can build Christmas up, the commercial part of Christmas up, to so much that we feel lacking. And what I love about what we're trying to do in St. Mark's is not to build the commercial side of Christmas up. We want to remind ourselves of, as the kids just done there, the real reason of Christmas. Because I believe when we take time to remind ourselves of Jesus and the coming Messiah, then even within all the busyness, we can have this peace and this joy and this hope and this love that goes beyond the, "Have I got the shopping done? Have I got this done? Have I got all that done?" And so that's what I love about Christmas. I know last week's reading was on Matthew chapter 2, and we looked at the wise men. And I'm actually going to refer to the wise men today as well. But this morning we looked at the shepherds. And I was just thinking of the shepherds. Can you imagine being the shepherds that night. Do you mean you're out just doing your job? Roy Keane, he's just doing his job. Sorry, that's a little personal joke here. He's just doing his job. They're out doing their job and they're just watching the sheep. They're minding the sheep, mind their own business. It's just a normal night. And then out of nowhere, do you mean this angel just appears? And the angel says to them, don't be afraid. Well, of course they're going to be afraid. Do you mean like it's every other night? And then this angelic being just appears in the field. Like, what the heck? Where did you come from? You have to frighten the life out of me. What are you doing and stuff? And he says, listen, don't be afraid. It's okay. I bring you good news. Great joy for all people. And it's just this moment. And then it says, and we're going to read, so it says, then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared. So there's not only just one of them, there's a whole company of angels now appear. And these guys are just there minding their sheep, minding their own business. And they're praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to all, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, what the heck was that all about? What's going on here? Did you put something in the drink? Because I'm after seeing a... No, they didn't say that. That's what would have happened if it was in Dublin. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which they had just been told. And this morning's message is literally simply titled, Come Let Us Adore Him. Our theme for Christmas is adore. And so this morning we're looking at, come, let us adore him. Who's the us in that song? Come let us. It's us. It's you. It's me. It's all of us. It's actually not only just us. It's everyone is invited to come into the Christmas story, is to come into all that God has for us. Verse 10 of the passage that Justin just read out, he says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. And this is my favorite bit of this, that will cause great joy to all people. Who's the good news for? It's for all people. It's not just for the good people. Let's not confuse God with Santa Claus. Do you know the song, You Better Watch Out, You Better Not Cry, You Better Watch Out, I'm Telling You Why? You bunch of heathens. You shouldn't know that song. And we sometimes think he's watching who's good or bad, isn't he? And sometimes we think, well, I'm bad, so therefore God. No, the Bible says that the good news is for all people. It's not just for the good people. It's not just for the holy people. It's not just for the well-dressed people. It's for all people. That is all inclusive. I actually, Jim, I had to do a study. This is really deep. You're gonna love this. This is so deep. I went and looked at the Greek word for what the all means, and it's a Greek word called pas. And this is deep. Do you know what it means? It means all. It just means all. In other words, there's nobody excluded from the good news. Let me put it this way. That group of people or that person you think it's not for, that's who it's for. That's who the good news is for, but it couldn't be for them. Those people that you see on the news and they're going like, no, it can't be for those, it's for them. Those people that you think like are from different parts of the world, it's for them. That neighbor that's wrecking your head, that work colleague that is just wrecking your head, it's for him, it's for her. That family member who's hurt you deeply, the good news is for all. We cannot get away from the centrality of the gospel in the Christmas story. The good news is for all people. Last week, Pastor Sean spoke about the Magi, the wise men. Good news is for wise men. And why this is important, and I just want to just recap a little bit of what Pastor Sean said, because I think it's so important why the good news is for the wise men. It says that the wise men, and we looked at last week, how they traveled a great distance to meet this new king. They traveled hundreds of miles, which proves even wise men will never admit that they're lost, because men just never admit that we're lost, do we? So it's like, I'm not lost. I know exactly where we're going. These guys were traveling hundreds of miles. They never got lost once because they knew where they were going. I'm not letting Google Maps tell me. They traveled so far to bring their treasures to this new king. They brought some gold, which we saw is a gift for a king, symbolizing Jesus' kingship and his reign as the King of Kings. They brought frankincense, which was a fragrant, a very expensive fragrant perfume used in temple worship. They're not really gifts that you'd bring a newborn baby, are they? I mean, I've always like, for a baby shower, it's not gifts that you'd bring. Let's bring some gold. Well, maybe do bring gold, actually. Every mum is going, yes, bring all the gold you can. With frankincense. And then this third guy, he brought some myrrh. And you're going, I feel this guy actually forgot to bring a gift. And this is like, the other lads knocked in and said, hey, we're going to see the king. Have you got your gift? No, were we meant to bring a gift? And like, well, we have to bring a gift. And it's like, well, I have myrrh someone gave me last Christmas, so I'm just going to re-gift that. We all do it, don't we? We all take the gifts that we don't want from last Christmas. It's like, I'm going to gift that to someone else. Just make sure you don't re-gift the gift to the person who gave it to you last Christmas, because that would be really bad and very embarrassing. And so I believe this guy, either he just forgot to bring something as like bring myrrh, or else I actually think maybe he was from Northern Ireland and he brought a mirror. And what are you bringing to Jesus? A mirror. A what? A mirror. Bringing a mirror. Apologies to all the Northern Irish people in the room. But he brought mirror. But actually, mirror, it was an expensive spice. And I love this. Right at the very birth of Jesus, it was used for anointing the dead. Again, you're going, why would you bring that to a baby shower? Why would you bring that gift? But it symbolizes, from the very beginning, the life and the mission of this very unique baby that was born over 2,000 years ago, that he would ultimately sacrifice himself for all of mankind. These men, why this is important, it's good news for wise men, because these men followed astrology. They followed pagan rituals. A lot of scholars believe they were into magic. They were more than likely from Persia or Babylon. Again, we don't know fully, but again, most historians, theologians believe that was the land they came from. And so they probably followed Persian and Babylonian gods. And for the Jewish people where the Messiah was to come from, these men were unclean, idolatrous outsiders. And yet here they are at the center of Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. Why is this important? Because it gives us a taste of the gospel. Jesus was coming to save Israel as their Messiah, but not just Israel's Messiah. He was going to gather people from every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. People that didn't belong were now belonging to him, now are welcomed into the story of God's redemptive plan. Aren't you glad that you've been invited into this redemptive story? Aren't you glad that it's not just for the chosen frozen? It's not just for the few holy people. Aren't you glad that the good news came to all people? It's not just for the great people, it's for all people. You see, we were outsiders, and some of us maybe came from a great distance. And all we have is a little bit of, we don't even have treasure. But some of us, all we've had is just to lay our lives down. So Lord, I don't have anything to give you. But will you take my life? Will you take the brokenness? Will you take the addiction? Will you take all of the pain and all of the suffering? I have nothing to offer you. I don't have gold. I don't have frankincense. I don't have an expensive spice called myrrh. I don't have much, Lord, but I have my heart. And I believe that's the essence of Christmas, is that what we have is our lives to lay down. Good news is for those who have traveled from distant lands. And I mean that not only physically, but yes, there's people in this room that have traveled from distant lands. But maybe you felt distant from God. Maybe life's choices or other people's choices have brought you into a position where you feel that you don't even know if God is real. And if he is real, well, why would he be concerned about me? Why? I'm so far away from this, Des. You've no idea. The good news is for people who have to travel from far places. The good news is from people who are searching for answers in all of the wrong places. These wise men were searching. They were searchers. They were looking to the stars. They were looking to magic. They were looking to false gods. They were looking to all this for truth. There was something in them that caused a search, a hunger in their heart. The good news is for people who are searching. And even though you've maybe been searching your whole life in all of the wrong places, the good news is for you today. The good news, because these men who are outsiders are brought into the very center of the nativity story. The good news is for all people. I love the story of the wise men because I believe wise men, and when I say that, I mean women as well, wise men still seek him. I sought the Lord, Psalm 34. I was reading it yesterday. And it just hit me as I was reading it in my quiet time. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. And when I was reading that, honestly, if you had been in Costa Coffee in Greystones, you would have looked over and saw a man just in tears. I'd say the people around probably thought, gosh, something's happened to him. It just hit me again. I sought the Lord and I cried out and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Do you know, God doesn't just deliver you from some fear and leave you to live life in the rest of your fears. He delivers you from all of your fears. And whatever it is that's causing you to be anxious coming towards Christmas, it could be financial worries, it could be health worries, it could be family worries. We all have these worries. But what I encourage you is as we seek the Lord, his promise is that he hears us. And not only does he hear us, but he actually comes into the midst of our lives and he delivers us from all of our fears. As we seek him, wise men still seek him. Wise men still lay their gifts down before him. Des, I don't have much to lay down. You have your life. You have the breath in your lungs. You have your words. You have your actions. You have so much more than you think. You have stuff that money can't buy. You have your will that you can say, Lord, I willfully come to you and lay down my heart before you. Wise men still lay down their gifts before him. Wise men still humble them. It says the wise men came and they bowed down. Do you know what will keep you from all of God's blessings in your life? Pride. It is the only thing that will keep you from God blessing you because God will not go against your will. And you might be there going, do you know what? I don't need help. I can do it. I'm grand. I have it in hand. I can do it myself. I don't need anyone. Do you know what? Only weak people cry out to God. Pride will keep you from all. Humility is the opposite. Humility is, God, I can't do this. God, I need your help. God, I am not strong enough. God, help me. The Apostle Paul says this about his weakness, that I will boast all the more in my weakness. Why? Because my weakness is made perfect. Or sorry, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. So this Christmas, you have the choice. You can either still be proudful. Do you know what? I'm a proud Irish man. I can do it. I don't need anyone's help. I have this in hand. Or we can humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need your strength. Your mercies are new every morning. I need mercy this morning. Your grace is sufficient. Lord, I need your grace to help me through this day. I need you every single day. Give me today my daily bread because I need to be fed by you. I need your sustenance. And so we can have two choices. The wise men, I believe wise men, wise women still humble themselves before the Lord and wise men still adore him. Psalm 145 verse 9 says this, the Lord is good to all. Listen to that, God. Honestly, take that. The Lord is good to all. There's nobody God is not good towards. The Lord is good to all and he has compassion on all he has made. Des, you can't mean those people. I do. Des, you can't mean this situation. I do. Des, you can't mean me. I do. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. The second group of people that is so central to the nativity story, not only the wise men, and we read about them this morning, is the shepherds. Shepherds in Jesus' day. And why it's so important that the good news is for the shepherds. You see, the wise men are, like, they were wealthy. They were respected in their world. Do you know what I mean? They traveled in what was called caravans. That's not like Father Ted caravan. I mean, it's like loads of people traveling together. They would have had their servants. They would have had their... These were the open inns. Do you mean these were up in the society? Shepherds in Jesus' day were the completely opposite. Shepherds in the first century Israel, these were social outcasts. They were smelly working men. They were always working with the animals day and night. And this was before Lynx was invented or power showers. Or if you're from Northern Ireland, power shower. Sorry. I'm going to stop jeering Northern Irish people. These were smelly. They were social outcasts. Shepherds weren't very high up in the social scale. In fact, the general view was that they weren't to be trusted. In a Jewish book in the first century called the Mishnah, familiar to the first century people, buying food and clothing from shepherds was forbidden because the food and clothing was probably stolen goods. So in this Jewish first century book, it was forbidden for you to buy clothes and foods from these people because the chances are they robbed it. And so they're not to be trusted. The shepherds are not to be trusted. Shepherds were despised. They were considered ceremonially unclean. And again, in Jewish society, that was not a good thing. You were an outcast. You were an outsider. You were banned from entering various houses and especially the courts of the Jerusalem temple. And when God, I believe, gathered all of his angels together and told them the time has come, the first nativity story is about to happen. The Messiah is to be born in the town of Bethlehem. Gabriel, the chief angel, I want you to go and announce the news. I can see Gabriel going, who am I going to go to announce it to? Will I go to the high priest? No, don't go to the high priest. Well, I go to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish council at that time where all of the rabbis and all of the religious leaders would gather together and would make judgments on the people. And so again, in the Sanhedrin were the open ends of the Jewish world at that time. Will I go and announce it to the Sanhedrin? It'd be like the modern day Dáil. Will I go and announce it to the Shanid or to the Dáil? No, don't go there. Will I go to King Herod, the ruling person, the royal family? Will I go to the royal family and announce the coming king, the Messiah is to come? No. I want you to go and announce it to the shepherds. What? Why to the shepherds? The first people who heard the message of the birth of God's son, the Savior, the Messiah, were the most despised people in society at that time. People didn't trust them. They were outsiders. I believe this is amazing news. Jesus, the Son of God, born in a cave, in a manger. We have this beautiful picture of a manger. It's like, I mean, a little wicker basket with little blankets and stuff. A manger was a feeding trough for pigs. It was a feeding trough for the animals. That's where the baby, that's where the newborn baby, the Messiah, our King, our Lord, oh, come, let us adore him, was born into the muck and the mire of life. I believe that's good news. Because even for me, my story, I grew up in what was called chaos. My dad was an alcoholic, a gambler. He used to punch my mom. He used to hit my mom. He used to abuse us verbally and physically. It was chaotic. It was a mess. Life was a mess. My schooling was a mess because my home life was a mess. And so I was thrown out of so many schools growing up. Some of you know my story. It was just chaotic. And what I love about the story of Christmas is that this is the situation that God comes into. You see, sometimes we feel, no, I have to get my life back together first. I have to clean myself up. I have to get rid of this addiction. I have to stop watching that stuff. I have to stop speaking the way I speak. And then I can come to church. That's not the gospel. That's religion. The gospel is that Jesus came into my mess and lifted me out of it and rescued me out of it. He's the one. He said, Des, I love you as you are. And whatever you're in, whatever's going on in your world, this message is for you. The good news is for all people. That's what I love about this story, is that these were the despised. It's for the, yes, it's for the people who didn't grow up in chaos. It's for the people who are bankers and I don't know, whatever, doing, have great jobs, solicitors and politicians or whoever you are. The good news is for you as well. It's not just for the addicts. It's not just for the rich. It's for all. It's for all people. This is what's so great about Christmas. The wise men came to adore him. The shepherds began glorifying and praising his name. The rich, the elite, the wise worship him. The poor, the outcast, the despised adore him. The foreigner, the outsider bow down to him. The lepers, the sick, the broken praise him. The Christmas invitation is for all people. You are invited to partake in the Christmas story. You are invited to partake in the salvation of God. You are invited to experience and to receive all that God has given us. As the kids done an amazing job this morning, showing us what the real gift of Christmas is. It's Jesus. But in order for us to experience and to have our lives transformed by this gift, we have to receive it. You see, you can give someone a gift and they can just leave it there under the tree. They can leave it there, just not used. I heard a thing on the radio the other day, 25% of gift vouchers that were given last year at Christmas time haven't been used. Some of you are going home to check the drawers now. That could be me. There could be a one-for-all voucher there. We don't know. Isn't that amazing? 25% of gift vouchers from last Christmas haven't been used. And the amazing gift that Jesus offers us. And sometimes we go, I'll take it or leave it. The Son of God came to give his life for you. To give his life for you. In all of your mess, in all of your complexities, in all of your beautifulness and wonderfulness, in everything that you are that makes up you, he gave his life for you so that you could have peace on earth, joy in the midst of chaos, that you could know the love of God, the unconditional love of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, and I'd love us to just close as we began adoring him. As I said, today's whole service is about come, let us adore him. And so I'd love us to just close by adoring him. But before I close, I was thinking of the wise men, and I was just thinking of them coming so far to bring their gifts. These foreigners, they weren't even part of the in crowd. I just love the fact that God chooses those who are on the outside to come and adore him. Those who wouldn't necessarily be welcomed, he welcomes in, right into the center of this amazing story. And they bring their gifts. And I was thinking, what could I bring to the Son of God? What gift could you give? Like, the Bible says, not only does he have everything, he created everything. It says he, by his hand, he sustains all things. So what do you give someone who has everything, who created everything and sustains all things? But then I was challenged, well, does he have everything? Jesus says this, the wise men brought their treasures, but Jesus says in Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And as I was reading that, in light of the wise men bringing their treasures, I was just wondering, Des, does he have your heart? Does he have all of your heart? Because that's all he wants. He just wants your heart. He wants, and not that he needs it, he's not narcissistic. Why he wants it is because he wants to fill it with love and compassion and grace and strength. And if I'm being honest, the world has filled my heart with so much filth, with so much stuff that just tears me down and destroys my soul. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus for the first time, and he removed all of that filth, all of that hurt, all of that addiction, all of the stuff I'd done, the things I'd said that were hurtful. And he just filled me with such love. I didn't deserve it. I certainly didn't deserve it. But I simply just said, God, all I have to give you is my heart. And I wondered this morning if that's you. You're like, I've nothing. I've very little. Actually, I'm a mess. If truth being told, I'm able to fake it for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning, put my Christmas jumper on and put the smile on. But actually, I'm falling apart. I just want to encourage you that God wants to fill your heart with his love and his strength. He wants to be Emmanuel, God with you. Not just a title, but actually really, truly with you. Emmanuel, walking with you. And so instead of You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, I just invite you into this day. I believe God wants to invite you into his day. Rather than us inviting him into our, I believe God is inviting you into his day and into the life he has for you. And he says, I have a great plan and I have a great future. So here's what I would love to do. As we're worshiping, as we're singing, the guys are leading us in this song. I'd love for you, just forget about the person to your left or your right, just for this song. And maybe just surrender your life again to him. That, Lord, I'm coming to adore you. I'm coming to lay it all down. There's busyness outside this place. We've come from busyness. We're going back to busyness. But in this moment right now, I'm stilling my heart and I'm saying, Jesus, you can have it all again. Can we stand? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all of our children. What an amazing group of kids we have. Thank you for all our kids' church team. Bless them, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters in this room. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters listening online, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, I just pray now that I would just be removed out of the way and Jesus, take center stage. Lord, lead us, guide us, each and every one of us, in how we should respond to what you're saying this morning. I ask this through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's worship.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.